Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Warriors of the Bible broadcast, calling all warriors to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Stay tuned for today's message. Hear the word of God, which will demonstrate that God is a warrior. Yes, yes, yes. This is the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James. So glad to be with you today as you are listening to the Warrior broadcast around the world that will indicate proof that God is a warrior and that the only reason He created anything is to show His power, His wisdom, His majesty, and the warrior mentality. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, you see one constant thing. And it's not the love of God, although God is love. You see one constant thing from Genesis to Revelation. Pick up your Bible, your Holy Scriptures, and study it. One constant thing that you see from Genesis to Revelation is the wrath of God, the revenge of God on all those, and even those who are His believers, that disobey His commandments in one way or another. He executes His wrath, His judgment, with mercy, amen, with love, amen. But there's always a reason that God executes some type of retribution from Genesis to Revelation. It has nothing to do with somebody says, well, because we sin against them or we disobey or trespass. That is not enough for a holy being to execute retribution. We know that from the scriptures when God tells us not to have wrath when people do dirt to us and to forgive us and not to take vengeance. It goes right there in the book of Romans, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, leave space for God to give retribution. And what retribution leads to is because there's something of His that you've taken, and He's going to take it back one way or the other. And that something of His that you've taken His word too far, you've disobeyed or whatever, you know what I'm saying, is that He's a warrior. Face the facts. The coronavirus, what a terrible, terrible situation around the earth today, July 2020. Whatever conspiracy theory you have, whatever, you know, theory you have is it was made up or it was manufactured in a lab. whatever it is, once you equate scriptures, God's word, that there shall be diseases at the time of the end and the beginning of sorrows. He said it. It does not make a difference how it comes in. He's allowing it. You know, he's allowing the coronavirus. No matter how you cut the cake, he allowed it, and he's allowing it. So if he's allowed it, all right, it has to have something to do with his warrior mentality. Because whatever he allows, he's going to fix. Whatever chaos that comes up in your life, he's going to bring order. That's all to it. And that's what you see from Genesis to Revelation. So before we get to the Bible study today, I want to remind you, you can email the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. Anytime you'd like to, drop us a line. Let us know how you like the program. It is, the email address is powerwarrior25. That's P-O-W-E-R, warrior, W-A-R-R-I-O-R, 25 at yahoo.com. PowerWarrior25 at yahoo.com. I just want to say this. God is love. I mean, you can't take away his mercy and his long suffering. He is love. That's because he wants to be love. We don't tag him as love, but he's also wrath. He's vengeance. He's from Genesis to Revelation. I don't know what else to tell you. He created all things just to show his power. And we would not know his power. You know, when you have exercise power, you have to have resistance. You got to have a reason, you know, to exercise your power. Even when you exercise miracles in the Bible, there had to be tragedies. There had to be crisis. Amen. Jesus' name for a miracle. The miracle of Jesus Christ rising Lazarus from the dead. What a miracle. But he had to be dead, stinking, for 3 days. And it was sorrow and it was pain in his family and the people around that he had died. I don't know what else to tell you. God is a warrior. And a warrior takes territory. And a warrior also takes back the territory. Let's get into the Bible study today real quick. Before that, brothers and sisters in Norway, thank God for you. My statistics are showing I have listeners in Norway. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters in England, thank you so much for listening. In the Philippines, thank you so much. We are so blessed, and I'm so thankful that you're listening. Drop me an email. Tell me how you like the show. If you put it in your own language, I'm sure I'll know it's coming from you. But I thank you so much for those brothers and sisters out there. Let's get into the Bible study. Let's go to Exodus chapter 23, a few verses there. Verse 29, Exodus chapter 23, starting at verse 29. If you have your Bibles, please read along, and if you do not, just listen along to the Word of God. Verse 29, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. 30, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. Remember there, inherit the land. And finally, verse 31, and I will set thee thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Today's message is entitled, Taking Ground from the Enemy. Taking ground from the enemy. Take your mind back from the enemy. Be rough, be strong, and tenacious with it. I have Bible studies, amen, in my earlier broadcast, in my archives, that I was criticized for pretty heavily as far as I'm concerned. in which I talk mostly about the warfare of God in the Old Testament against the enemies of the people of God, the Canaanites, the Ammonites, and all that. And my Bible study focused on warfare. And I was criticized about that. I don't think I was criticized about that by other real – well, this guy hit me up on Facebook when I was on it. I'm not on it anymore, saying that I was taking the scriptures out of context. And I read this message, and the Lord spoke to me, as he speaks to me often. He speaks to me more than I want to be spoken to. You see, I saw three things come from this guy just by reading his email to me. I saw that he was a smoker. I think that he was kind of gay, bisexual or something. And he was not a true Christian. He believed that Christianity had to do with loving and loving and loving. And I hit him back and I just told him some things there. But I took a lot of criticism about not talking about love and God's love and Jesus wants you saved and all these type of things. I focused a little bit more on a warfare type of thing. And then I changed my Bible study from the dynamic word to the warriors of the Bible. Although, and I remember I told this gentleman, all in the Bible, what I just read in the book of Exodus, all in the Bible, you see God doing one constant thing, making his people into warriors and exuding his mentality of the warrior mentality. You just can't get out of it. You just can't get out of it. Here in Exodus chapter 23, verse 28, he's saying he's driving out the people that are there and giving the land to you, to his people. Simple as that. 28, he's driving out the Hivite and the Canaanite. 29, he's not. Verse 30, he says he's going to do it little by little. And then he's 31, he says to the children of Israel, I'm going to give you all this land and you're going to inhabit it. But he talks about kicking out, verse 29, the inhabitants of the land. I didn't read that, but I'll read it now. Verse 28, and I will send hornets. Hornets are not very nice, but God's sending them. Hornets are not good people. They're not good animals, but God is sending them. He says, I will send them, not the devil. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hivite from before thee. Oh, man. All right, here's what I'm trying to say here. The land in the Old Testament was property. It was, you know, ground. And the enemy was the other human beings that were already in possession of the ground. You don't like it, do something about it. In the New Testament, the land is the mind. And the enemy, God bypasses the people and their gods, the Canaanites and the gods they serve, and he gets right to the source, which is unclean spirits. I doubt if we fight the devil, Lucifer, every day, but we definitely go through the unclean spirits that have built up camp in our mind. So those are the inhabitants of the land. The land, the promised land, is the mind in the New Testament, and the enemy is the devil, the enemy, the unclean spirits, who used people, who used the Canaanites and Hivites. Okay, that's all to it. So when you're taking ground from the enemy, it's about taking the ground, which is your mind, that the enemy has taken from you or still dwells and have always have dwelt. Now watch this. He says here in verse 29, little by little. That's deliverance. Some things you have to be delivered from right away, or you cannot even fulfill the rest of God's plan to deliver you from everything else. Some things have to be dealt with right away. And that's why many believers can give a testimony. Brother James is one of them. That when you first came to Christ, your greatest, biggest battles, it wasn't a battle. You were just wiped out when you first become a Christian. You were beaten to a pulp. And you live with that scar forever. In the human mind, mentally, what happened to you and what you went through as a new Christian, not even knowing the scriptures, all right? Many believers can testify to that. And as we speak today, in that you, not only have you taken that ground from the enemy, but you didn't even know amen, that you took the ground maybe till years later. See, the situation is God brought them into the promised land. He had the promised land set up for them before they were even created. The people that he put in that land, listen, brothers and sisters, were there to be taken out. They were there to build the cities. Okay? They were there to have the flocks and the herds, not knowing God prepared that for the children of Israel. God must take something from somebody to give it so that you can have it. Salvation itself, when we say, well, we got saved, we got born again, you did not. Somebody paid the price. Think about that. Somebody paid the price before you were even born. And that was a heavy price. That was his son. So taking ground from the enemy. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is illustrating right here. The enemy is not supposed to hold the ground that you gave him forever. You are not supposed to live in fear and anxiety or lust as a believer. You're not supposed to have a treaty. You know, even though a treaty can be given, you can be a Christian and live in lust until the day you die. If you haven't touched a man, if you haven't touched a woman, no matter how you catch it, no matter how you cut it, it's not fornication, it's not adultery. A fornication and adultery has to do with the sexual act. And, you know, there's brothers and sisters out there that will tell you, yeah, I know, because I used to be one. Yeah, I know how to fornicate, and I know how to adulterate, and it ain't got nothing to do with desiring somebody. Fornication and adultery has to do with desiring and going out and get it. Get me one! All right, so you have people getting mixed up, and they want to just, you know, tell you those things. No, 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 pornography is not fornication. It's not right. Okay? It's evil, but if you don't, listen, let me put it to you this way. You're going to have to learn to fight the devil. You're going to have to learn to live in truth. And every truth that you don't live in, every truth that's not your reality, the devil will keep that part of the territory. He will keep that land. He will keep that territory in your mind. Okay, so when I say that pornography is not fornication, the problem is that land, and you can't be a believer and watch pornography. I'm giving you an example. If that land is not dealt with, then God will deal with it. If you don't take it back, okay, if you said I'm a Christian, but once in a while I'm watching this, I'm doing this, if you do not take that back, The enemy's territory that you've given them will increase and overtake you. Okay, that's what I'm saying. So is pornography a sin? Of course it is, but you're not having sex with those women, and I'm not endorsing pornography. I'm trying to explain to you, you have to take back. You're not supposed to be in this position your whole Christian life, to have the flesh or something of your past still dominate you. Oh, yes, Brother James, I've always listened to jazz. I like jazz, you know, I'm listening to it now. Brother, you will find yourself back in jazz clubs and a drink in your hand if you do not take that territory back. It's been years, and that's it. God demanded here in verse 29, he says, I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year. Verse 30, by little and little. The devil, and I would say well-meaning pastors and church members will tell you, if you don't get rid of that right now, you ain't saved. When you know full well you're fighting against it, and it's little by little, not sin. I'm not talking about fornication and adultery and cussing. Well, let's use cursing for one example. That was one of the hardest things Brother James had to deal with. I'm telling you, I'm not above. I'm right there where you are. And I remember when I first became a Christian, boy, I stopped cussing and all that stuff, and did the devil lay it on me. He laid everything and everyone I knew at work and all that. and put them in a position to provoke me. You're trying to live right. You know, you're trying to live right. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while now, and it's nothing to you. You know, it's nothing to you because you've matured. You're trying to live right, and you got somebody around you, a spouse or an adult child, just want to do dirt to you, and you say, why you want to do that, and I'm trying to live right? Why you want to do this to me? I'm trying to live right. People you've known at your job for years, you're trying to live right, and they've always showed you some type of respect. Now you can just see the devil in their eyes, and why you want to do this to me? I'm trying to live right. Well, that's listen. Somebody says, well, that's the devil. Yeah, well, that's the devil. But let me tell you something. The territory that God wants you to take and that you're going to take, the devil is in that territory. The Hittites and the Canaanites are in that territory. That's the territory that God wants you to take. So if taking this territory means you have to whoop the devil, it means you have to have nothing to do with those people that the devil uses, then so be it, because you're going at the territory from the enemy, which is in your mind. Your mind is the ground that you're going to be taking. But you can't be, oh, let me want to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them. Listen, you think that the children of Israel prayed for the Hittites and prayed for Goliath? I'm praying for Goliath that he repents. I'm praying for Goliath, Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of St. John the Baptist, please turn Goliath's heart to you. Goliath, the spit is coming out of Goliath's mouth because he could taste the blood of the children of Israel. No, that's not what happened. No. God said, take him out. Take him out. And then when you take him out, cut his head off and drag it all around just to show, amen, the Philistines who to mess with and who not to mess with. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James. Today, our message is entitled, Taking the Ground from the Enemy. Take your mind back from the enemy. Be strong. Be rough. Be tenacious with it. You notice I say take your mind back from the enemy, because you're going to have to come to the conclusion that the things that you're struggling with are not brand new to a you as a Christian. Listen to think about what you're struggling with, your thoughts. They're the same old thoughts, the same old attitudes you had before you were a Christian. If you had lust before you were a Christian, brother and sister, you're going to have it as a Christian, married or married not. Why? Because it's in your family line. You could just sit there right now and think about the family members, mostly the men, but I'm not going to discount the women. I'm not going to discount Aunt Esther and Aunt Charmaine. I'm not going to discount them. You know, don't be trying to say that you had some you praise the Lord, some promiscuous women in your family line. You know, maybe your mother. If you start looking back, you know, at some of your uncles and aunts that you grew up with and see, yeah. Oh, yeah, Aunt such and such, oh, she had to always have a man around her, yep, and Uncle such and such, oh, yeah, he always had women. Well, guess what, and that's where you were, wasn't it? Okay, sister, and that's how you are now, because you're still you. The children of Israel were still, they were still human beings. Tenacious with it. You know what tenacious means? Tenacious means I don't give a jack. I'm going to whoop on somebody. I'm going to get in there. I know I'm better than you. I know I'm a better fighter than you. I know I'm a better team. You know, the tenacious is when you see that underdog soccer team or football team, they're coming in as an underdog, and the first thing they say is, we don't appreciate the polls saying that we're underdogs. We don't like that. Everybody should have, you're talking to the broadcaster, you know, or the sports network, and you're saying, everybody should have an even shot, amen, of when the game starts, it's 0-0. Yeah, you got us as underdogs. And this is what tenacious means. First, we're going to come in, and we're going to line up against them. And the thing that we're expecting as underdogs We're going to lay 55 points on this team. We expect 55 points on this team. And the third thing, since you're saying that we're underdogs, we're going to dare this team to stop us from scoring. We're going to whoop on this team so that you don't ever make us underdogs in the poll. We're going to come in there as if we're number one. Now, that's what tenacious is, and that's how you are to drive the enemy out of your mind. That's how you are to drive fear out of your mind. That's how you are to go to work and go into your chores and go to different things. You are to go in there expecting to win. You are to go in there with proof in the back of your mind, reminding your own self that you have beaten this situation before, that you've been here before, and that's why you're here now, because the devil couldn't stop you, the situations couldn't stop you, and even your own faults. Amen. Listen. You say, listen, brother, I know I got an anger issue. Listen, sister. Lord God Almighty, you talk to God just like you're talking to somebody right next to you. I know I got an anger issue, and I know that there's things that they can say or do to me that will piss me off, that'll trigger it. I'm going to be ready for the trigger, the trigger spots, but I'm going to tell you what it is. And you turn from the Lord, and you turn right to the demonic power and say, I'm going to whoop up on you angrily. I'm going to take you out. I know I got a fear and anxiety problem, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to take you out with fear and anxiety. I'm going to take you out because this is my land. This is my mind. This is my soul. Amen. And God has given me everything that I need to win. Amen. The enemy is not supposed to hold the ground that you gave him forever. There is a time to take it back and not just let him maintain it. I just said that about our truce, as our time is running out. People take believers make a truce and say, okay, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ and I'm going to win some things, but, I'm still going to have some wrath and some anger. That's just how I am. Uh-uh. No. You are to possess it. You are to take ownership of it because the Lord is going to open up the land for you. And on that land is all your faults, and you and your faults and anything that the enemy still holds on you are part of that land. In other words, as it says here, we were reading the scriptures here, when God said to the children of Israel, go and take it, it had to be somebody there to take it from. And God did not take out the Hivites and the Amorites at one time. Why does God take his time with deliverance? Why does God take his time giving us what we ask for? Primarily, okay, I'll tell you what. Primarily, and I'll read it right here. Verse 29, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. That means that your mind still has to be occupied with warfare. You have to go a specific time that God has allowed it in warfare before you get your mind where God wants it. You have to learn how it takes, how it feels to hold on to the land when you get it. You have to learn how to walk without fear. You have to learn how to get up without anxiety. You have to learn how to wake up, praise the Lord, without wrath and strife. Amen. Taking ground from the enemy, take back your mind. You have to accept the fact that your mind is infected a little less than it was when you first got saved. It's infected. You got to admit it's infected, and God wants it cleared up. Time is running out, but brothers and sisters, be rough and strong and tenacious with it. Not passive, not, oh, the Lord's going to get me through it. The Lord, it's not going to be the Lord's going to get me through this. It's going to be the Lord's going to have to hold me back, because if he doesn't hold me back from whooping up on the devil and taking all the land, there'll be nothing left for tomorrow. Amen. Amen in Jesus' name. That's how it's supposed to be. So, again, our time has run out in the words of the Bible broadcast. Until next time, may God keep you in perfect peace.